The last year at the University of Maine, Orono, there was a culmination of events in my life. I was involved in a horrible drag racing accident. I flipped a car going over 120 miles an hour. By the grace of God, nobody died. My grandmother Jane was killed by medical negligence, and after a prolonged six-month hospitalization, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. When I was released from the hospital, I was strung out. I was prescribed morphine and OxyContin and told that I was going to be on them for the rest of my life. After all this, I asked God, why would he forsake me? Turning my back on God, I became disobedient and vowed that I would go out on my own terms. I turned my family beach house into the Great Gatsby, and I had parties for weeks on end. 14 years later, I was filled with a life full of debauchery and excess. At the tail end of this mayhem, I saved a girl's life that was overdosing at a party before the Good Samaritan law was a law in New Hampshire. The result of that, I was imprisoned for 12 months. While I was imprisoned, I came to realize that my brother and my ex had passed away on the same day, April 12, 2015, of drugs and alcohol. At that moment, I started to pray the rosary and I cried out to God to reveal himself to me if he was real and his promises were faithful. God made a way for me to find Teen Challenge through an advertisement on WMUR. It's only by the grace of God that I'm alive today. He's given me an undeniable hope, undeniable testimony to give others hope. I'm involved in the drug awareness team. Acquired leadership in the program has put me in a position to encourage others to strive to live a more righteous life. I know that God has me exactly where he wants me, according to his incomprehensible perfect plan for my life. I'm in a spirit of expectation for what God's going to be doing in my life and my brother's lives here at Teen Challenge. And God, I never knew that I would feel the feeling of brotherly love again, but God's restored that for me. And the scripture that I stand on is 1 Peter 3:15. And in your heart of hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give everyone an answer for the hope that you have. Thank you and God bless.
Take it. At this point in the service, I'd like to direct your attention to the prayer cards we handed out at the beginning of the service. Church, we'd really like everyone to have one of these, so if you don't, not a problem, just raise your hand, and one of my brothers will be glad to get one right over to you. On the left side is a space for your basic information. Please fill this out so we can stay in touch with you. We'll send you a monthly newsletter with a testimony and photo of one of our students in the program. We'd also like to keep you informed on the various events we put on during the year, such as our golf tournament and our fall banquet. On the right side is a space for your prayers. This is by far the most important part. The power of prayer is so important. Each man standing up to here is an answer to prayer. I myself am an answered prayer. I struggled with an opiate addiction for 10 years, had multiple overdoses thanks to the prayers of my lovely mother. I stand up here where I came to Teen Challenge 7 months ago, so I got 7 months clean where I came to Teen Challenge and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, we all have something we need help with, a struggling loved one, finances, health, a job. Here at Teen Challenge, we strongly believe in praying for others, and we want to intercede on your behalf. No prayer is too large or too small for God, and we want to pray for your needs. So as we play this next song, we are going to circle up in prayer for you. If you could fill those cards out, please just raise your hand, and one of my brothers will be glad to come collect it. Thank you, and God bless.
It will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. Will I fall? Will just forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Good morning, church. So this is a part of the service where we explain the three reasons why we come out as a mission to various churches every Sunday and why we're here today. Now, the first reason we come out is to spread the gospel. We all know that the gospel means good news. But in today's media, it seems like all we ever hear is bad news. They say that our God isn't a God of miracles. He doesn't rain fire down from heaven or part the Red Sea anymore. But we've come out to show you today in a very tangible way that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he's taken the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low, and that he's transformed our hearts and our lives is the first reason that we've come out today. Now, the second reason that we've come out is to bring hope. Unfortunately, many of us know someone who's struggling with an addiction, and at times it can seem so hopeless. I myself was hopelessly dying, losing a battle to cocaine addiction in a war that was literally waged over my life over a period of 9 years by the devil himself. A struggle that landed me in like a dozen hospitals with overdoses, 2 confirmed heart attacks. But that's not where my story ends. That I stand before you today as a man who's been healed of cocaine addiction and has a normal, healthy heart. Hallelujah. Because of an encounter that I had with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. And it radically set me free. You know, none of us are going to win awards for singing. But I hope that what you see today are men that have been set free from the bondage of addiction. Our lives have been radically changed. And I love Jesus Christ for what he did for me. As a result of this encounter that I had with God, he called me to preach the gospel. Through this experience, it inspired me to walk away from a career, millions of dollars in income and stock options to go follow my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The scripture that God used to bring me to Teen Challenge and the one that I stand on is found in the Gospel of Mark in the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 34 through verse 37. And Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. For what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, I'm not perfect, but I've met the one who is perfect, and I'm forgiven, and because he lives, I live. And so, as you can see, if God can give me hope, if he can give these other men hope, he can certainly give you and your loved ones hope. Now, the third reason we come out is finances. Teen Challenge is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and because we're faith-based and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our program, we receive no federal funding. For us to receive that funding, we'd have to take Jesus out of our program. And without Jesus, I wouldn't be standing here. We wouldn't be gathered here. So that's just not going to work. Now, that said, our communities are suffering. The state of New Hampshire in 2016 saw 478 drug-related deaths because of fentanyl. Now, nearly 70% of those deaths, were fentanyl-related, and it was just reported that we're like top in the country for fentanyl overdoses, yet we're nearly dead last in recovery efforts. So the University of Tennessee a few years ago did a study on Teen Challenge alumni, and what they found is that 67% of Teen Challenge alumni remain drug and alcohol abstinent, and we measure that 65 months from the time they enter the program. So that's nearly, 6 years, folks. Secular programs boast statistics of 4 to 6%. Another very significant difference is the wait time. Those secular programs can take anywhere from 6 weeks to 6 months. Our wait time at Teen Challenge is less than a week. That time frame, that difference is life and death. Another thing that we take pride in is the fact that we never turn anybody away who can't afford us. And ladies and gentlemen, that's like 90% of the people that we deal with. So we've come up with a way that churches and communities can support us, and it's called a student sponsorship, all right? Let me put this in perspective for you. Most of us drink coffee, in fact, faithfully every day, amen? I know we love our coffee at Teen Challenge. So if you buy your coffee at Cumberland Farms or McDonald's, you're going to spend about $1 for a cup of coffee. And for that, you could sponsor one student. Now, if you buy your coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, which is probably the majority of the people in here and New England, you're going to spend about $2.50 for a cup of coffee. And for that, you could sponsor 2.5 students. Now, if you're a sophisticated coffee connoisseur and Starbucks is your flavor, if your wallet will support that, And that's your cup of coffee, then you could probably sponsor my whole choir this morning. But seriously, it is the change in the bottom of your pocket right now, the change in your cup holders in your cars, and for that little bit, you can help save a life. You can give somebody the opportunity to encounter the living God in the person of Jesus Christ like I've had and be set free from the bondage of addiction, enabling them to become a father, a husband, you know, a sister, a brother, a productive member of society, making a positive impact in the kingdom of God. If God puts it on your heart this morning to sponsor a student, we'll be out front here after the service. Just see one of us or one of my brothers with the ties on. We'd be glad to help you with that. But either way, it's been a privilege to be here with you today. God bless you and thank you.
Sounds on. All right. So I'm Corey. I'm 24 years old from Concord, New Hampshire. I had a good childhood. I was raised by my father and my stepmom. And at the age of 16, they got divorced. And this had crushed me at the time. It led to severe trust issues. And I had already been drinking and using drugs at that age, so that really just escalated my use. I started using Percocets heavily, and I had my first opiate addiction at the age of 18. A little over a year later, I was arrested twice for possession with intent to sell pot, and by 21, I'd racked up 13 underage alcohol charges. I spent half of my time between 2013 and 2017 in jail. I was never out for more than a few months, but when I was out, I found time to start selling and using heroin, and it wasn't long before I was addicted to that. I was arrested in May of 2016 for two sales of fentanyl. I sat in jail for the next 6 months. I'd heard about Teen Challenge before. I'd worked with some of the guys in the past, and I had mentioned it as an option to my lawyer, but it didn't really seem to make a difference. So on my way to court with every intention of taking a 3 to 9 year prison sentence I was being offered, the Lord made a way for me to come into Teen Challenge. 13 days after that, I was in Teen Challenge filling out the paperwork already. I had initially used it as a way out of jail. I had never opened a Bible in my life. But I couldn't deny God, and I was saved in January of last year. Amen. But naturally, I still wanted to do things my own way. So that was eventually surfaced, and after 5 months, I was asked to leave. I knew that I messed up the only chance that I was being given and that I would be going to prison, but God's good. He rescued me once again, and I was able to come back. A couple months into the program, I realized that the Lord was trying to show me something more than, you know, just my behavior, that I wasn't growing in a way that I should have been. But I now have a healthy relationship with the Lord, and I never would have imagined that before. I've been in the program for 9 months now, and God's teaching me how to be a better person. He's teaching me how to be there for my brothers, for my family. You know, it's a blessing that I'm able to be a part of these guys' lives. You know, but more importantly, the Lord's teaching me how to love and how to trust again. So I'm not sure what his plans are for me afterwards, but I do know that they will be for my good and for his glory. Thank you, guys.
Oh, we praise the Lord for you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing all that you shared. We're very thankful for you. We're very thankful for the testimony, too. One phrase I've used a lot in my life that I'm kind of uncomfortable using from time to time, and you may have used it, too, is you see something like that or you hear something like that, and you say, "There but for the grace of God go I." Have you ever said that? And I think that's a fine statement. I don't have a real problem with it. Because really what you're trying to say when you say "there but for the grace of God go I" is you're making a bit of a confession to say that I could be the same situation. I have the same foibles. I'm prone to the same temptations. I could fall just like that. And there's a praise to the Lord there in some ways too, where you say, well, I'm very thankful the Lord's preserved me or saved me from that. But I guess the reason I'm a little uncomfortable with it sometimes too is that it kind of puts us in the passive position, doesn't it? That somehow it's up to the gods. It's up to God whether or not we have favor like that. It has very little to do with us. There's very little action that we can take. And we tend to try to find out why it is that we have favor and others don't. And so one of the things I'd like for you to consider today, and what I really was grateful for that came out in a lot of what they shared, is that one of the big problems with saying "there but for the grace of God go I" is that we tend to kind of say we lack compassion for you guys. We lack compassion for the people that are walking around our town today. We lack compassion for the people who are in that situation that where they're struggling, they're hurting, they're throwing their lives away. What I loved about Jesus Christ when he came here to earth, he did not say, "There but for the grace of God go I," but rather, "There because of the grace of God go I." That he came to give up his life, to be a blessing for other people, that they might have freedom, that they might have the ability to overcome, that they might be reborn. And so I challenge you today, in the lives of these people that you know, that you're in contact with, that you see are in these before pictures, and there are a lot of these before pictures all over our town, have compassion on these people, okay? Don't just say, I'm glad I'm not like them. I must have some kind of favor. God must love me a lot. Say, how can I help them receive salvation, receive this kind of freedom? I'm so thankful for what was shared about their steadfast commitment to making central in the program the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you heard the testimony there that restricts them from having a lot of money, okay? A lot of federal support makes it that addition to the program makes it impossible for them to fund what they like to do. We're not so restricted, are we, church? Okay. This is not the government's responsibility. It's never been the government's responsibility. And it's not the responsibility of the university. It's not the responsibility of any other organization or group. This is the church's responsibility. Okay. This is our job. This is our role in the world, is to be that salt and light. And part of that is giving money. Okay. I love that they're willing to take anybody and take them right away, because it is a matter of life and death. That costs a lot of money. The church has given a gift to them for coming here today out of the proceeds of all your gifts over the year. But I do want to strongly encourage you to prayerfully consider this afternoon, right after this service, going out here and signing up to sponsor, okay? All you Starbucks people out there, okay? We have a new Starbucks in town, by the way. The first one didn't make it, so we're rooting for the second. I don't know. So all you Starbucks people and you Dunkin' people and you Cumbie's people, all those people, okay, let's make sure that we try to support this ministry, which is our ministry. It's the church's ministry. Okay, let's be sure to do that. Before we sing a little bit more, let's have a word of prayer for these gentlemen that came here today, and let's have a prayer for this ministry. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful testimony we received here today. Your name's been glorified for sure. And it's true that sometimes we look for big, impressive shows like the parting of the Red Sea or the feeding of the 5,000. But Lord, these people who've been reborn here, that's no less miraculous than somebody being resurrected from the dead. And overcoming an addiction like fentanyl or cocaine or any other kind of addictive substance is no less amazing than the parting of the Red Sea. It's no less miraculous. And Lord, the ability for these young men to find brotherhood with one another, for them to find brotherhood in Jesus Christ, it's no less amazing. And so, Lord, we pray that for these, there would not be a 67% rate. There'd be 100%. Lord, we pray for these men that are here today, that every single one of them would find perfect freedom from that which has enslaved them and robbed them of joy, peace, happiness, and fulfillment. So, Lord, thank you for them coming all the way from Manchester today to come and sing for us, to share. It's not easy. I praise and thank you for them. Thankful for the boldness, the courage, and the joy that was very evident. And, Lord, I pray that as we go out of this place that we'll take care to prayerfully consider supporting. Lord, I pray that for those of us who have means to do it, that we commit giving to them. I also pray, Lord, that we would give them a hug, encourage them, pray for them, and not forget them, but to continue to lift them up in prayer and lift up this town and all these who are battling these addictions. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.